Welcome to our Christian Ministries Church Podcast. We pray today's message will equip you to do the work God has called each of us to do in our area of ministry. I look forward to seeing you here at church soon. Enjoy today's word. There is a good chance of a lot of rain later today. And so some of you are going, well, it's not raining right now. I thought we were going to land this morning and going to pray over the property. Well, that was the plan, and it's not raining, and we could probably go. So thank you for your faith in the no rain. It worked. The problem is the pad is all red clay, and parents, you might want to say, thank you, Pastor. That was a good call, because we would have had red clay over everything, cars and all of that. And so used to, I wouldn't have cared, but now I've heard enough complaints from parents for choices I've made, and I've learned my lesson, so we decided that we would not go out to the land. In fact, I started kind of thinking about it. Last time we went and prayed over a property that we were getting ready to build on was right where you're sitting today. And it was amazing because they were calling for rain that day also. And Chico had reminded me, in fact, he's got a picture of it. We just said, God, in the name of Jesus right now, we want to pray over this property. And I mean, there was thunder and lightning just right over here in the distance. And we prayed and the clouds and everything parted. It was amazing. And I was like, do we not have that kind of faith now? And I believe we do, but we've got a little more wisdom than we had then too. So anyway, faith and wisdom works together. So today, we are not going to the land, and we may not go until there's concrete there. So I was excited and probably just a little too excited, but we will get out there eventually and pray over that property. So I do thank Jason, our mowing team, that has been out there getting it all clean. Let me also say that you're welcome to stop by anytime and go walk out over that property and pray. I've done it 100 times. I want to ask you to do that. So stop with your family at some point. If you want to today, feel welcome, but I'm warning you, red clay. But you can walk over and you can pray over that property, and you can look at the picture on the wall out in the foyer, and you start imagining where it's all going to sit, and we'll be talking about more of that soon. So, well, this past week, Michelle and I had the opportunity to take a little mini vacation. We attended a national rally in Elkhart, Indiana, for the RV company that we own an RV of, and they held this rally, and then we went down to Kentucky and went to the Ark Encounter. We got to view some horses. Kentucky has lots of horses. They actually have a place where they take old horses, and they say you can come and pet them, and so that's what we did. We met our grandkids. Our kids just happened to be there, but our grandkids came, and we got to hang out with them at the Ark and the Ark Encounter. For you grandparents, you know exactly what I'm talking about, and you have to put up with the kids sometimes just to hang out with the grandkids, and so we spent some miles on the road this week, but we experienced a good time with friends and family, and it was refreshing. It's always good to go and see what's going on outside of here. And let me just tell you, it's also a great reminder of why I love it here. Amen. I just love Christian Ministries Church. We always try to go to another church while we're there, and we do, and we always have a good time and good message, and people being baptized, people being one of the Lord. This isn't the only place God's moving. Hallelujah. Amen. It's all over this country, and I love to go in other churches and see what's going on. But you know, when we're gone, it's always amazing to me to see culture and what's happening in other cultures. And I love just little God winks, little things that God does while we're gone. We actually, where we were camped at this national rally before we met the grandkids, we were in culture shock. Because most people who own fifth wheels and go to these rallies are old. Like, we're not. And I was at this rally, and I'm thinking, okay, the culture of the rally was just different. And it was not really the culture of our church. It was a rally for RV people. And I thought, we're kind of like fish out of water right now. In fact, we were talking to some lady in Kentucky the next week, and everybody keeps talking about bourbon. And they were having bourbon tasting. But I didn't know the tasting part. I just heard bourbon. And I said, where's bourbon? We have one of those in Missouri. Bourbon, if you ever go up I-44 on the way to St. Louis, there's a town called Bourbon. So I thought it was just a town, and they looked at me like I was the goofiest person they'd ever met. And I'm like, well, I don't guess I'll be a part of what you guys are actually talking about. But anyway, we were just, it was different. It was a different culture. And what can you engage in? What can you not? What should you do? What should you not do? God, we need some people to surround us. We're like a fish out of water. And you know, we got to meet the people that were right next door to us. They were from Canada. And this was one of those God winks. They were born again, spirit-filled Christian people. And we sat around one evening and just shared the testimonies and the goodness of God. And I mean, right there in the midst of a world that's just different, God shows up. If you're looking for God, he's not hiding. But when you're not looking for him, you're probably not finding him. And we just started talking about this. God, we want to hang out. We want to meet somebody. So one of the things we pray about when we're on vacation is we always pray about whoever we're going to meet, whether we can encourage them or whether or not they can encourage us. And so everywhere we found ourselves sitting and talking to people about the goodness of God. And it was awesome to find someone else talking about how awesome God is and had healed them in a situation they had been through and talking about prayer concerns. And so we're praying for them. They're from Canada. And they said, hey, would you pray for our country? We're fighting a fight right now. Well, we talk about fights in the United States all the time. Well, they're fighting in Canada. What's your fight? And they said, well, right now they're trying to call biblical principles that we're living by hate crimes. And so their parliament and what was going in to vote was going to not allow them to live by their Christian morals and beliefs without possibly going to jail. It's a big deal what's going on in Canada right now. And sometimes we're just so in our little bubble, we don't realize what's happening outside of here. And it was a good indicator that, God, thank you for Christian people that are standing and fighting the good fight all over the world. You know, here's what I've seen the last 2 weeks. There's a real attempt in so many areas of life to create an atmosphere that God really intended for the church to create. And I'm not talking about bourbon tasting. I'm talking about an atmosphere is all the time trying to be created to produce fellowship when God intended for the church to create it. I am amazed at what I have seen in just the last 30 years. Since I remember, and I'm telling my age right now, when the World Wide Web entered our lives. The WWW. And it's been in place now for a long enough time that a lot of you grew up and you don't know anything different. And this place, the internet, has made a really, really big attempt at taking over things that God designed the church to do and to operate in. Social media, major platform, just really significant in our lives over the last 10 years. Now, it took the internet getting up and operating for 20 years or so to then social media comes in. And we're not sure, with only 10 years of it, how to address the consequences that it's really having in our culture. But I wouldn't have done anything I did the last 2 weeks had it not been for social media. It created a desire for us to go and be a part of what we went and were a part of the last 2 weeks. The church culture, when you're around Christians, has really become a place that if it doesn't entertain me as much as social media, I just assume hang out on social media. Because social media has created its own culture, if you will. And I walked through the Ark Encounter and I watched everybody engaged in either a video or an audio walking tour, reading signs, and not paying any attention to anybody else. And about everything that was going on had to be interactive to grab the attention of the people that were there. Now, here's what I found. God's people all across this country, when we go out, this is a Christian draw. The Ark, the Creation Museum, a Christian draw with Christian people. And everything I'm reading, and I love it because there's so much in there telling people how you can come to a saving knowledge of Christ at the Ark. I love that. And I think if you ever get a chance, go. But you'll find that there are Christian people all over that are associated with Christ but separate from the church. I'm just seeing it. Like, church is not a big deal. Christ is a big deal, but His church is worldwide. It's not an individual local body. So my title today, and I was telling our class this morning, the legacy class that I was teaching, that this really, the last 2 weeks and what I was teaching in legacy class this morning is how I arrived at the title of what I wanted to talk about today. And it's just a question. Why church? Why church? Why are you here? And there's a lot of reasons behind it, but let me just start with the scriptural reason why we should be here. Romans 12, verse 9 says, don't just pretend to love others. Well, you can do that outside of the church. I know, but it's really a pretending. Let me go on. Really love them. How do you really love someone unless you're able to look past what you really know about them? Don't just pretend, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with a genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. Keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you're honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. There's so much here, but these practices ought to go on in the church culture. They really should. And you can know this, that all the things that you're having to overcome, you can overcome in the church culture. And we don't practice it because we don't understand the church. Why church? I've been reading and studying a lot the last couple of weeks, and I couldn't not talk about this. I want to read some things written in a speech that was delivered in June of 2017 by Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg. Where once Facebook crossed over 2 billion users, Zuckerberg claimed that Facebook is the new church. And that the social network can take on the role that religion once did in giving people a sense of community. In this speech he gave the newest direction for the social media giant's direction. And that had to do with Facebook groups. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but if you're on Facebook, you probably know what groups are. It's how I learned a lot of what I've done the last 2 weeks, Facebook groups. Now, they're groups which he called giving people a sense that they are a part of something bigger than themselves, akin to a religious congregation. These aren't my words. These are the founder of Facebook's, saying that people could find purpose and support online that previous generations found by going to church. In this speech in 2017, he said, that there are 100 million Facebook users that are a part of these groups that he calls meaningful community. Now, you think 100 million, you're like, that's a lot. Well, here was his vision. He wanted to go from 100 million to over a billion users in these groups. When Zuckerberg laid out his plan, he suggested that Americans need something to unify them. He says this, it's so striking that for decades, membership in all kinds of groups has declined as much as 25%. That's a lot of people who now need to find a sense of purpose and support somewhere else. He added, if we can do this, it will not only turn around the whole decline in community membership we've seen for decades, it will start to strengthen our social fabric and bring the world closer together. Now that sounds good, to bring the world closer together. Let's all think the same. Here's my question. The vision that he had to replace what church was called to do, did it work? That's my question. Did it work? Is Facebook really the new church? Did Facebook replace membership in communities that once were held by churches and groups? Did it deliver on its promise to strengthen the social fabric and bring the world closer together? The obvious answer is no, it didn't. But let me tell you, it did reach its goal of numbers, because today there are 1.8 billion people on these groups. Why? I just would say that Facebook still holds true to its mission. It's wanted to create culture. And I think in a lot of ways it has. There was a fiery response to these claims that a writer and journalist, you may have heard of him, Peter Ormerod, he said, and I quote, at their best, churches offer a perspective on life fundamentally opposed to the culture Facebook encourages and upon which it feeds. Well, that caught my attention. For one, churches are messy. They are not organized by an algorithm or tailored to the individual end user. Far from it. Here at church, we can't just flick past the bits we don't like. We are confronted with uncomfortable Bible passages, hard to understand life lessons, and truths that we struggle with. Unlike Facebook, a church tells us that we are not the center of the world. There is a place in the world for Facebook. He goes on to write, there are times when I would rather be confronted with a picture of a dog than with a glimpse of eternity. Yet a good church is more than just a social network. It is a place of transcendence, space, silence, peace, devotion, richness, and depth. No matter how grand Zuckerberg's vision may be, they will never compete with God's church. That's cool. I want to talk today, and maybe over the next week or so, the role of the church. Why church? I'm not just talking about some disembodied organization. I'm talking about as the church, the role we should be playing in culture and society, because it has been lost. The mission that God has the church on, that it has been on, by the way of contrast to the direction of our culture and our world. So basically, my point today is to make an argument for and teach you how we need relationships with real people in real spaces. A place that is a draw to the world to have community and life building based on the Word of God, not the standards that the world is saying that we need to live by. Now, I think it's important, and I've been praying about delivering a message like this for a long time. See, we all long to be seen. We have a longing to be known. We all long to belong to a people that we can call our own, where we can say, these are my people. And the groups on Facebook are trying to say, these are my people. Well, I went and met them. I met one of my groups. And there were some that were my people, but there were some that they weren't. See, I see this on social media all the time, a longing, a sincere longing for someone just to pay attention to me. I need someone to see me. We all want to be loved, and none of us want to be rejected. And so what I would mean by real relationships with real people in real spaces is what we would call a real church, a real community. Real community as opposed to a digital community. Are y'all with me? I think it's important. Now, I'll say on the front end, as was stated, there's a role for digital technology in our society. So don't think for a second that I'm not saying there's a place for social media. I'm not. I'm on it. And this is not some anti-technology rant. So just get that out of your head and don't turn me off. This is not a finger-wagging, better than you, kind of high horse I'm on, discerning the direction that the Lord is taking us. That's not what I'm doing. These are things that the Lord is challenging me, your pastor, on. The last couple, 3 weeks, I've been challenged a lot. As I'm thinking some of these things through to communicate, there are things that are very uncomfortable for me. Things that I find the Spirit challenging myself on and exposing all the excuses I've had that are reasonable excuses. Even at times spiritual, but are nonetheless just excuses that are getting in the way of me being all that God's called me to be. So please know that we're in this together. Today, I'm calling you to join me in this journey in discovering what God has for us as a church. We have to spend whatever time is necessary making sure we're ready to move out on the highway. We got to make sure that we have a real life community right here. That it's going on. When I talk about real relationships with real people, listen, real people are real messy. And real people can be real difficult. There's just no doubt. So there are many challenges to relationships and to community. And we'll talk about some of those. And we'll walk through them. And we'll figure out how to overcome them. And take responsibility for our part in this. Today, I want to confront the draw it is in our lives to be a part of a digital society as opposed to real life connections. Because it's too easy. The biggest challenges that we have cultivating a real community that's based out of the church, I want to address today. And here they are. So let me just tell you what I'm addressing today. First, digital substitutes and counterfeits. I'm addressing something that there's a lot of churches that are not talking about. Digital substitutes and counterfeits, and we'll talk about these. Here's the second one. A consumeristic approach and a framework to church that we all have. A consumeristic approach and a framework to church that we all have. Now, this may be a little more touchy for some of you. It may hit very personal for some of you. Some of you may be like, you know what? I never liked this whole social media thing anyway. So preach it, Pastor. But that doesn't mean you haven't given some really dumb excuses to why you're not having relationships. So this is for everyone. I hope this is a challenge. So if you've been antisocial in any way, and antisocial media in any way, eventually the Holy Spirit hopefully will knock you off your high horse as well. Okay, digital substitutes and counterfeits. Let's just talk about them. Social media specifically, but also digital technology in general. One of the things that social media, now hear me, this is one of the things it does really well. It simplifies and streamlines communication. This is a good thing. See, communication is very important in the development of relationships. It's important for the development of community. We use it. Everybody now in the modern world uses it as a part of communication. If you're the only one who doesn't, you're less than half of 1%. So you can stand on your high horse all day long and I'm not giving in and I'm not doing it. Well, you can just let the whole world go by you, but you need to know about it. See, it simplifies life in a lot of ways. It makes things easier. It's incredibly helpful. It helps you maintain connections to people around the world or people throughout your lifetime that you've sort of lost track of. I know more about extended family from social media than I wouldn't have known until I went to a family reunion that I don't go to. So see, there are ways that it benefits with global connections, and it brings together what we would call loose ties, people we have sort of a moderate or historical connection with, but not a depth of relationship. It brings us together. I mean, Michelle can keep in contact with a lot of people in Ohio, and we haven't been there for years now. But we can stay connected. That's at its best. But at its worst, social media and digital technology accommodate a superficial belonging. It gives you an illustration or an illusion of belonging. It allows you to hide behind a calculated presentation, a highlighted version of how we present our lives in the digital world. It encourages, get this, a voyeuristic perspective on people's lives. I've never dreamed that I would see the day and time where everybody engaging outside of here is all just watching everybody else. It's one of my favorite pastimes is people watching. But if you watch them long enough, they're going to catch your eye. Then what are you going to do? It's a lot easier just to watch them online. I don't have to get to know them face to face. One pastor said it like this: social media in particular lures us in under the guise of connection, but beneath the mask is the reality that social media and digital spaces as a whole are for the most part lonely places. They are fueled by voyeurism, that broken inclination within each of us to peek behind the curtain of other people's lives. Rather than connecting us, the voyeuristic nature of social media actually detaches and distances us from one another. As we find ourselves running aimlessly on the treadmill of comparison and contempt, we feel like we can see one another's lives, but none of us feel truly seen. That's the downside. Again, a lot of positive uses, and many of us have business things and outreaches that we use social media to produce in our lives. And here's what you can know. I'm not downgrading any of that. I'm not demeaning any of that or saying you shouldn't use that. I'm not saying you should get rid of social media. What I'm trying to challenge us to today is an unintentional adaptation. We've adopted frameworks and postures towards living, towards life, that we haven't been very critical of, and it's doing something, and it's affecting the church. The church needs to hear this. Why? Because the church is not going to be producing the community God intended it for it to produce when we're giving into something that we're unaware of. See, as we look behind the curtain of other people's lives, we're not aware that we're only seeing a partial version. And it's the only version they've allowed you to see. Now, sometimes that version is a version they shouldn't have allowed you to see. And other times it's a version that is a total highlight reel, and it's only the best part that they could come up with and put online. See, you put a small part of your own life onto a platform with an attempt to be truly seen, and you're never truly seen. That's the problem. The reality is that we're a decade into this world, and digital technologies and social media, though helpful, are giving this illusion that you're connected to something, and we're missing out on what the church should connect us to. See, deep friendships require presence, they require patience, and they require depth. Too often we're simply left comparing our lives to the online version we see of everybody else. It makes us feel hollow, unseen, disconnected, and lonely. Well, Pastor, I had 400 people say happy birthday. How many people said it directly to you? See, we have been dependent upon this social platform for our communications. And it's hitting epidemic levels in what it is producing in people. There's numerous studies that have been done over the last few years on loneliness. And this epidemic level in 2018, there was a study done by an insurance company, Cigna. Now, this is 2018. That's 8 years removed. But a study was done on loneliness. And the number of their findings went something like this. Listen, nearly half of Americans reported sometimes or always feeling alone or left out. One in four Americans rarely or never feel as though they are people who really are understood. Two in five Americans sometimes or always feel that their relationships are not meaningful and that they are isolated from others. Did you realize this is all pre-COVID? And one of the things that Cigna writes in this research, they say this loneliness is not just making us sad, it's making us sick. And you don't have to look very far and you can see people who are affected by this. Loneliness actually has the same effect on mortality as smoking 15 cigarettes a day, which makes it more dangerous than obesity. See, these are some of the causes that they found. Loneliness is being caused by what they call a spiritual drought. A generation being raised online, surrounded by noise, but starved of closeness. Absorbing highlight reels while silencing their own pain. Now here, I want you to know, they also define a cure. Here's what is working. Meaningful social interaction is reducing isolation. And what they called more face-to-face conversations are what they say is needed. Face-to-face. They also say that in that cure, real faces, and I'm not talking FaceTime, real face interaction is curing the problem. Yet we have a life group wall and we're wondering if anybody's going to show up. Why? Because there's way more entertainment in our mind in other arenas. Sadly, this pre-2020 report has now had reports since that say it's even increased. Loneliness is increased now to 61% of people have this epidemic. 6 in 10 people are experiencing deep levels of loneliness. And know this, the church is not exempt. We're right there with it. You know, divorce rates are the same in the world as they are in the church. So is loneliness. It's the same in the world as it is in the church. We're losing our ability to build meaningful relationships and friendships. We continue to live in this world with frequent surface-level interactions. We find ourselves settling for distracting substitutes. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about today. Just using food as the example. We have highly processed foods. Anybody agree with that? Highly processed foods. They have the same calories, yet they're lacking nutritional value. We see that you can eat them, but they're not bringing value to your health. In fact, now they've added some other things to them that are causing addictions. Oreos. Let me just talk about Oreos for a second. Do you know that they're chemically designed to light up your brain the same way cocaine does? Look this up. I mean, I don't know. How many of you struggle with just eating one Oreo? Come on. It's tough. And there's a reason. It has the same lighting up your brain stuff that cocaine has. Now, I'm not saying it does the exact same thing, but it seems to me no one's ever just eaten one. In fact, you eat one and you're like, the whole ream's gone. What happened? And then right after it's all gone, you think, man, I feel so much better. How does that happen? It's highly processed food that you're getting calories, but you're not getting any health benefit from. It's kind of like those things are taking over what we should be experiencing. There's no health benefit to it. And we're addicted in a way that's very harmful. And it's kind of like those things are like a treat or a supplement that has become our diet. That's what processed foods are. Now, let's talk about this. See, it's having a negative effect on people's health, and they're no longer just additions to the diet. They are our diet. These processed foods, and it's killing us. Now, here's what you have to see in relation. Digital technologies have a way of being the same thing. They have a sense of making you feel like you're belonging and you're connected. There's a sense of being connected to a wide world of people that are dealing with what you're dealing with, maybe to old friends and relationships you have, but there's a bit of illusion to it. See, it's the same calorie, yet no health benefit. It's not only that all of these technologies are bad, but they're intentionally designed to get you addicted. They're specific. It's not an accident. It's designed by people who study the brain. It's designed by people, psychologists, psychiatrists who study the brain, and they work in Silicon Valley, that intentionally designed technologies to keep you addicted. So maybe the best way I can say it would be that digital connectivity and digital community should at most be a supplement, but they can't be your diet. I hope I'm making sense to someone, because we have to understand this. We have to understand why church is so important and why it's important for us to stay connected. The second challenge in our community is a consumeristic approach and framework to everything that we view, including church. When I talk about consumerism, I'm talking about how we orient our lives around convenience and preferences. Let me give you some more studies. A Pew Forum survey in 2018 was conducted about why people attend church. Let me give you their top three. Here's why people attend church according to this Pew research. One, to come closer to God. Two, so my children will have a moral foundation. Three, to make me a better person. All right, in and of these three, they're important and they matter, and churches need to be addressing them. I get that. But do you know that in those top three, there's no mention of community? Not one. No mention of belonging to a group of people that make your life bigger than yourself. Nothing mentioned about the kingdom of God and the mission of his kingdom being established on earth as it is in heaven. What is mentioned is how the church benefits me. And if you're coming to church just to benefit yourself, you've missed the call of God. See, this is an ultimate paradox of the digital age. At the moment in human history when technology allows us to be more connected than ever, we have never been so far apart, ever. Our very understanding of community has evolved into a sort of collection of isolated individuals who just happen to be in the same generated algorithms or groups or pages apart from community. That's how we're approaching church, consumeristic. Here's what happens in our business meetings. Our staff meetings are business meetings. We're talking about how to connect a people that is so caught up on a screen every moment of their life. And in communities, we're trying to figure out how to go to the world standard to get them connected to a culture that identifies themselves as God followers. It's tough. I don't know if you've seen this, but we have quit verbally with a microphone in hand live trying to do announcements. Have you seen that? I mean, we have a screen every week that does it. We record it early and we mess up because we don't know what the weather's going to be. And we put it on a screen, and more people hear what's being said than if we'd have held a microphone and said the exact same thing.
Yeah, so true.
Why would they do that? Because nobody pays attention if you're not looking at a screen. Today's message will be very hard for a lot of people, and I knew that. But it doesn't take away that God said this needs to be talked about. And I didn't do it by putting a bunch of illustrations on a screen. We're going to have to train our minds to be able to hear. See, it's an entire nature of our culture. Nobody remembers prior to World War II, and if you do, you're really old. But since that time, our culture has been oriented around consumerism. Consumerism has had its highs, it's had its lows, but for the most part, we've been conditioned to think, how does this benefit me? That's the only reason we'll stay in a church if we can find benefit to it for me. We never think about, I'm there because it's a benefit to somebody else. See, God in me is going to benefit other people because I'm there. We don't think that. We come in, what am I going to get out of this? How do I get out of it? Because we've got entitlement generations. Since World War II, we ask that question of ourselves all the time. I talked about it here a couple weeks ago. Chapman talked about it last week. We find hills to die on. Why? Because we don't understand that the hill we need to die on is the same one Christ died on. Take up your cross and follow me. Not my will, but yours be done. But then we ask the question, how am I going to benefit? See, are you hearing this? There are frustrations in all of life. I get that. And you're going to find yourself in turmoil, but you need to know that we are teaching a concept of community that your answer can be found in. The Bible has every answer for every problem that you'll have in your life.
That's right.
Every answer. Church gatherings, worship, discipleship, sermons have all been conditioned around this surface level, trying to get people to enjoy it.
Yeah.
We talk about it in our staff meetings. What are the people going to say to this? Are they going to be able to receive it? Are they going to be able to hear it? Because that's really deep, and we need to be just in some spiritual milk because we know our audience. We call everything spiritual milk in the Christian life. The challenge is not to never give spiritual milk, but the challenge needs to be for some of us Christians to get into some meat eating. The deepness of the Word of God. When you have your whole life just consuming spiritual milk, here's what you are, a spiritual baby. And you might have been saved for 20 years, but you're still a baby. You get some meat and man, it turns you off. I can't handle this. And you start choking. I just want my milk back. I'm not a big quoter on Facebook media of things that put down the church because I don't think that's helping in social media for us to throw the church under the bus when Facebook in and of itself is trying to be the new
that's
church.
Right. That's right.
So I'm not about that. But let me tell you, in a sermon this morning, A.W. Tozer in the 1970s saw this consumeristic approach. And here's what he said, and hear me today. Why should believing Christians want everything pre-cooked, pre-digested, sliced and salted, and expect God to come and help us eat and hold the food to our baby lips while we pound the table and splash? And we think that is Christianity. Brethren, that is not Christianity. It is a degenerate bastard breed that has no right to be called Christianity. Pastor, I don't know if you should have said that. Let me tell you, the only answer we have for what's going on in our world is the church.
Yeah.
Why church? Because it's the only answer. And if you're in a good church, and I believe this is a good church, they're going to challenge you, and at times they're going to remind you that this world does not orient itself around you.
That's right.
And we need to know that.
Yeah.
See, in the ditch, we can't be up here putting down the church on every corner or God's people. So you need to hear that I'm not trying to do that this morning. I'm not trying to whoop anybody or make you feel bad. And maybe at times you've sat in church and you have felt like you were being condemned. Maybe you've been confused because condemnation is probably disguised as really conviction. And there are times that toes need stepped on. And it means for my life, the church doesn't exist just to meet every one of my wants and needs. I can tell you, I like old quartet style music with a low down bass and a high tenor and two parts in the middle that just kind of hang out. And I'm fine with just a piano and a bass guitar. And sometimes just a cappella. That means no instruments. And it was difficult for me when the church started for me not to head that route. But I had to look past myself and realize we have a culture that doesn't like that the way I do. Now, we've got two. Jill and Merlin are kind of hanging out on there with me still. But that's it. And what I'm saying is that's just a hill I wasn't going to die on.
Yeah.
But you're dying on hills based on what you think needs to be done for you, because social media has algorithms that do whatever you want it to do. And you get on there and you look at it and you're like, this is so fun. Why? Because it knows exactly what you want to see. And it puts it right there in front of you all the time. And our consumeristic approach is taking people out of the body of Christ. Canadian pastor David M., he said, the drift into Christian consumerism starts when disciples see the church as something to watch instead of something to be. When they see churches being full of people, not family. When they come to take, not give. When church becomes optional, not central. And when everything in the church becomes transactional instead of sacrificial. I thought that couldn't have been said better. Our task in this age, church, that we're living in, is this digital connectivity and consumeristic approach has to be recognized and called out and say, wait a minute here, is that God's way? See, we need to work on a genuine community of belonging where friendships and sacrifice are still a way of real life. And that is why church. Can you stay with me for just a second longer? I just got a little more and I want to finish this up today. I need to qualify some things here briefly. Briefly here. There are seasons that some are forced into isolation. Travel over long periods of time for work. I know that happens. And you desire to stay connected to your home church. Praise God for live stream. Praise God that we can stay connected. There are health issues that keep people out for seasons. I get that. And I understand it. And thank God for some social media. Maybe a new job for a season. But you don't stay in a new job saying, thank you, God, I don't ever have to go to church again. Yeah. You pray about how God's going to open the door for that job to allow you to be in church again. Vacations. I love that I can be on vacation and still hear every word that was preached from this pulpit. Yeah. Not because I have to, but because I get to. That's right. Yeah. It's a privilege. Research shows there is a difference between isolation and loneliness. And you have to know this. Someone who is isolated physically does not have to be emotionally lonely. That's a good deal. See, digital platforms can help there. But when you drift into emotional loneliness, social media will spiral you further down. And we got people trying to go to church on social media. People will watch as a matter of convenience rather than having to come and see anyone face to face. They're using digital for the wrong thing. I want to challenge this thinking. Digital media should only be a supplement. Come on, are you hearing that today? It's only a supplement. It's not sustenance. We're called to do the uncomfortable work of relationships. Social communities are convenient and customizable. Real life is different. Church is different. When we show up in the flesh, it's not easy to unfriend, unfollow, and to block. But on social platforms, that's real easy. I don't have to deal with them anymore. Think of it like this. You can tailor everything to your own wants and wishes. Even AI is tailored to tell you what you want to hear. You don't want to hear from someone, unfollow and silence them for 30 days. Then when they show up, silence them again. It's a difficult treatment of people when you can't use a flick of your finger or thumb to just get past them. It's a difficult treatment. It's difficult. Church is difficult. I get that. Well, then why church? Because social media is no better. In fact, it'll spiral you down. And if you can figure out how to deal with the relationships in church, it'll spiral you up. When you don't want to hear what someone says, you don't have to on social media. But that doesn't work here. To have real relationships, you can't build your life around preferences. You have to make allowance for other people's preferences. See, to have that, people are challenging. People are challenging. Jesus considers relationships essential. Why do we consider them optional? You'll never develop real relationships when it's all about your preferences. So before we move out on the road, I just want you to know there'll be a lot of preferences that you'll have to die to. And know this, it's all of us. Why? Because there'll be new people coming that have never known that there was a church. That's going to be out on that highway, and we've got to start teaching about that right now. See, our presence and that church matters. And there's going to be weird people. Know this, you're somebody's weird. You are. And when you're in church, you learn that there's weird people and you're one of them. It's just the way it works. See, presence matters. A LOL text is not near as real as someone actually laughing out loud when you say something. It's not the same. The prayer emoji is not the same as grabbing somebody's hand and saying, let me touch the throne of God so that you can experience his miracle working power. See, there's got to be a difference. Have you been hiding in social communities, avoiding the wider community of the church? I know you were hurt. You were done wrong. It happens. Your personality, that's the mess of church. But I'm telling you, it's rewarding because it's there that the kingdom of God manifests himself. It's about dying to yourself and stepping up to build some relationships. We need to be present. Thank you for being present today. Be present Wednesday. Well, I have to work. All right, well then be praying that you'll get out of work so you can start being present on Wednesday. Be present on Sundays. I'm gone on vacation. That's all right. Watch the Word. We have digital media as a supplement to make up for what you might have missed. Here's what I'm telling you. We may not be going out there and praying today, but that doesn't mean you can't go out there and pray. See, we may not be going all collectively together today, but at some point this week, take your family out there and pray about where God's going to move supernaturally as we develop community. And here's what's going to happen. Everybody's going to start seeing it because we're putting a sign out there that I was going to reveal as we went out and prayed today. And here's the sign that's getting ready to go on to the property out on the highway. And so we're putting this out this week, and we're going to have a place where God's going to do what he called the church to do, and that's called community. And yeah, it might be messy, but it'll be worth it. And we've got to know that God has a plan for you in this church. Be present, because not for what you're going to get out of it, but for what God in you is going to give to somebody else. I hope this message encouraged you, strengthened you, and hopefully even challenged you a little bit. And if it did, I want to encourage you to like it, share it, or even send it to somebody who you know needs to hear it. Help us get the message of Jesus out to as many people as possible. And to our Christian Ministries family, we're so thankful that you're with us today. Thank you for all you do here to advance his kingdom. And if you're not a part of Christian Ministries, but you want to know more about what God is doing here, you can go to our website, cmchurch.net. Or you can message us on social media, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and may the Lord bless you.